Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. Over the past several decades, cancer death rates have declined steadily. Sanford Health was part of the clinical trial of Keytruda, which is an immunotherapy and works with patients' immune systems to help fight certain cancers. Dr. Stephen Powell is an oncologist with Sanford Health and was heavily involved with these trials, and he joins us today by phone with more. Dr. Powell, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for taking the time to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So to start off, I know we opened the segment with the idea that cancer death rates have been declining over the last several decades. That's a report that came out fairly recently and definitely good news. Can you talk to us a little bit? What's driving that decline?
Yeah, I mean, that report was really interesting to hear. And what it really highlighted was between 2016 and 2017, we saw a very rapid decline in cancer death rates, predominantly in melanoma and lung cancer. And a lot of people were saying that's likely due to some of our therapies getting better, and one of those would be immunotherapy. And as you mentioned, Keytruda is one of those immunotherapies that was approved.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us now a little bit about Keytruda, how it works and how it fits into this trend?
Yeah, so our immune systems are built to detect and destroy cancer, and what cancer does to survive is it basically wraps itself almost in camouflage to hide itself from the immune system. And in essence, what it uses is this marker called PD-L1 to basically hide from the immune system and turn off the immune system. So what these drugs do is they actually go in and they interfere with the cancer's ability to do that, and they allow the immune system to recognize and allow it to kill the cancer.
Interesting. Tell us about how these trials got started. What's the time frame for developing something like this?
Yeah, so our first trial with Keytruda was in 2014, about a year after I started here. The drug was actually being used in melanoma at that time. It was actually just had gotten FDA approved for melanoma. That was its first approval. And that in 2014, they really started looking at other cancers that it could benefit. And in 2014, we opened a trial in lung cancer called KEYNOTE-21, where we added Keytruda to chemotherapy, and then we opened a trial in head and neck cancer as well. And then after that, it just evolved into a massive program where we were exploring in basically every type of cancer.
Right. Have you been involved with other trials like this in your oncology career?
Yeah, yes. I mean, this is my area of interest. In cancer, the field is moving so rapidly, you have to have access to clinical trials because that's the newest treatments. And if you don't have those clinical trials, you're already behind. So I think that's really my focus, is to try to bring as many of these here as possible so that our patients can have access to the newest treatments.
Right. When someone, I know this report outlines this, the four major cancers, breast, colon, lung, and prostate cancers, seeing largely that drop in death rates. If someone gets a diagnosis with one of those cancers now, how many different care options do they really have?
We actually have quite a few care options. I think, you know, we've learned a lot about immunotherapy, so that's often an option for some of these cancers where we can use drugs like Keytruda or Opdivo for treatment. In some cases, we can actually use them instead of chemotherapy or even with chemotherapy. The other approach actually that we take as well is actually using genomics or genetics. It's an area called precision oncology, where we're actually trying to look at the genes that are causing the cancer to grow and spread, and we can actually use medications to turn those genes off, essentially, and shrink the cancers and treat the cancers more effectively.
Mm-hmm. How does a patient choose?
Yeah, I think that's really my role as the oncologist in the room, is to help guide the patient through this. I think the way we take it, our approach is it's very systematic. We work as a team with our surgeons, with our radiation doctors, with all the doctors involved, and we look at all pieces of information. We look at the genetics of the cancer. We look at different markers that will help us decide which is the best treatment option for that particular patient.
Interesting. I want to move back to the Keytruda. I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about, for people without that kind of, you know, research background in treating cancers, it's interesting that cancer is able to kind of hide from the immune system, and immunotherapies help fight that. Can you talk a little bit about what's actually going on in the body and how that medicine works, and what are the risks involved with that kind of medicine?
Yes. So what actually, you can actually look at it under a microscope. You can actually take a piece of the tumor and check for this marker called PD-L1, which is, it basically almost looks like a wall around the cancer. It basically sheathes itself around with this wall, and you can actually see immune cells not able to attack it. So what this drug does is essentially turns off or disintegrates that wall and allows those immune cells to recognize and attack the cancer. And what we see in some cases are astounding responses where the cancer essentially melts away. In melanoma, that's something that's not uncommon, where you can see very, very profound responses with it. I think, as you mentioned, the risk, so the risk of these drugs, because we are actually waking up the immune system. If the immune system gets, becomes too aggressive, or becomes too active, you can actually get autoimmune disease. So your immune system can actually attack other organs in the body.
Interesting. If that does happen to happen in a patient, what are some courses of action to deal with that?
Yeah, and I think that's part of why we do these clinical trials. Through these trials, there's a lot of regulation and a lot of steps that we take to protect patients from these side effects. And also, as part of that, we produce basically recommendations on how to treat patients when they have these side effects. And usually, for many patients, the side effects are very mild. I would say a mild rash or itching. But if they do have a severe reaction where it attacks one of their vital organs, we actually usually will hold the treatment and then use steroids to suppress the immune system.
Interesting. So throughout the course of your career, how has oncology really developed, particularly in the Great Plains region, but just in general?
I mean, it's just been astounding how fast things have moved. When I was in fellowship, just an example I like to give is we reviewed the first study in melanoma that actually showed a benefit in stage 4 melanoma, and that was of a drug called Yervoy. It was an immunotherapy drug. And at that time, the average survival of melanoma was about 6 or 7 months if you had stage 4 disease, and that study showed an improvement of, it was fairly modest. It was about 3 months. So, from 7 months to 10-month average survival. Well, now with these new drugs, Keytruda and some of the more innovative drugs that we actually have out there, I'm actually seeing patients that are having complete regressions of their cancer, and I'm taking them off of treatment. And really, it's hard to estimate what the average survival is for melanoma. Right now, we generally estimate the average survival of melanoma somewhere around 2 years rather than just that 7-month period.
Wow. And of course, I imagine, regular screenings also play into this, or is this just purely looking at the treatment level?
Yeah, so I think when I think of cancer and looking at how we can improve survival, I think step one is always screening and prevention. So anything you can do to get rid of risks, so cigarette smoking would be a big factor to reduce, and then any way you can diagnose a cancer earlier, that's going to be your best option. And then beyond that, then I think that's where our treatments come into play. And, really our treatments for many years had not changed dramatically for patients with advanced cancer. And I think that's why people are saying this immunotherapy effect is probably a major effect that we're seeing, because this is the first treatment we've seen that has had very profound effects on survival in a long time.
Interesting. I'm curious about the role that these sorts of clinical trials and things like this play in educating future oncologists. Do you see that increasing from when you were in school, or what's the role of education in this research piece?
Yeah, I think if you go into oncology or any area associated with oncology, you have to be ready to constantly learn and change what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I started my training and fellowship, how we treat, say, even lung cancer, when I started, it was predominantly chemotherapy, radiation, surgery. That's completely changed for many patients. So it's a constant education process, and we're constantly learning from these trials. So I think that's another part of how it's nice to work as a team, because if there's a person that has a specialty in lung cancer and does a lot of research in that area, they're able to share that with the rest of the team and everybody can learn from it.
Right. With an immunotherapy like Keytruda, is that something that is ever used in conjunction with other kinds of treatments like chemo?
Yeah, so the major studies we were involved with were KEYNOTE-021 and 189, and what that showed, those two studies actually led to FDA approval of Keytruda in combination with chemotherapy. And that's really where we've seen the most dramatic benefit, is when you actually add chemotherapy, or standard chemotherapy, you add Keytruda to it. They showed essentially twice as many patients had their cancers regress with that, and the risk of dying from your cancer over the study period was cut in half by adding the Keytruda to chemotherapy. So that's a common approach. However, there's other cancers like melanoma and even some types of lung cancer where we can actually get rid of the chemotherapy and just use Keytruda.
Interesting. So are clinical trials with Keytruda done and you're looking at the next trial in your future?
So I think where we're at with Keytruda right now, a lot of our trials are actually now adding it to our treatments to try to improve our cure rates. So we're using it, for instance, in head and neck cancer before patients go to surgery to try to reduce the size of their cancer so that it can be easier to remove and that their outcome can be better. We're doing that across a number of different cancer types, including lung cancer and melanoma as well. And then the flip side of that, of course, is not every patient benefits from these drugs. I think that's always important to remember is not everybody benefits from these treatments. So my main area of interest is trying to bring in the newer treatments, the newer immunotherapy treatments. So we have things ranging from viruses that fight cancer, so these viruses that have been genetically engineered to destroy cancers and allow the immune system to recognize them. We have a number of treatments kind of in that realm with more novel or newer immunotherapies that we're trying to investigate.
Interesting. If you're just joining us, my guest has been Dr. Stephen Powell. He's an oncologist with Sanford Health. We're talking mainly about Keytruda, which is a treatment for lung cancer and melanoma, a form of skin cancer, and the declining cancer death rates. Dr. Powell, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to talk with us, and we hope to speak with you again as things continue improving when it comes to cancer research.
Thank you very much for having me.